Hi, everyone. Just wanted to let you know that Jim and Steve Watch a Show are now on social media. Please follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Jim and Steve Watch a Show. There, you can find out what TV show they will be watching next to enhance your listening experience. Also, feel free to give them suggestions for shows to watch or even a nerd challenge idea. Thanks for listening.
Well, and I got to tell you, there was not a lot of information about this movie online.
Oh, really?
Like, next to none. My sheet is like five sentences.
Jim and Steve, they watch a show.
Movie.
They watch a show.
Movie.
You've never seen.
Welcome, everybody, to Jim and Steve Watch a Movie. In fact, we watched Bloodsuckers from Outer Space. My name is Jim.
And my name is Steve.
Steve, would you like to tell everybody what our show is normally all about?
So normally we will go to the streaming services. We will try to find a show that you have overlooked for one reason or another. We will watch the first episode. We will then give our review and whether or not we would watch the entire season. Today, we decided we are going to watch a movie and we're going to give our review and discuss it at length and whether or not we'd recommend that you watch it.
Again, we watched Bloodsuckers from Outer Space. We'd like to begin with a little bit of background information for this film. So, Steve, what'd you find?
So, we found this movie on Amazon Prime. It was filmed in 1984 in Texas. There are no actors or actresses in this movie that you have ever heard of. I would bet $1 billion.
Yeah.
It is about 80 minutes long. That's really we'll get into it a lot more, but I had said before, it was very difficult to find information about this movie other than other people saying, I watched it, but that's about it.
So as far as summary challenge, this is we like to try to summarize if we watched the episode of a show in a minute or less, the first episode. In this case, we're going to try to summarize or at least hit the high points of the plot, right, of the movie in a minute or less.
High points.
High points. Are you going to give this a go?
Actually,
first?
You're first.
I'm first on this one. All right.
Because I did Ultra Q first.
Okay. All right. All right. So everybody's got to keep in mind that this is 80 minutes condensed. Well, I can't really use that as an excuse because some shows we've watched have been 80 minutes.
Just as long.
Just as long. All right. So here's my best go. So we open in a small Texas town. There's this space mist that's kind of settles into the countryside. It slowly turns people into vampires, but honestly, they're more like zombies. There's this team of research scientists in a place called Research City. And the government, kind of separately, are trying to fight the space mist. All right, we have a hero whose name is Jeff. He's a reporter. I think he's a reporter. He doesn't really do much to stop the space mist, to be perfectly honest. But he does meet a girl named Julie, who has a tank of nitrous in her Camaro. They both huff nitrous and are immune to the space mist. Government nukes the town over by mistake, doesn't hurt the zombies. So the Bloodsuckers from Outer Space start their own town.
That's very good. That's very good.
That's the best I could do. I'm sure I'm missing all kinds of stuff. You
no, I gotta tell you, like that, you pretty much hit the high points there.
Okay. Well, let's hear your summary.
Okay. We are in rural Texas. And as you said, there is a space mist. It is invisible. It is odorless. And the way that they show you in the movie that something is happening is it just gets really, really windy. Anyone that gets caught up in this wind turns into a bloodsucker from outer space. And as you said, they're more like zombies, but they are still their own people. You can have a conversation with them. They'll tell you what they want. It seems like they almost are joining a collective intelligence, but they don't really get into that very much. So our main characters are Jeff and Julie, and then also a guy named General Sanders, and he represents the military part of the movie. There's also, as you said, Research City, and they want to study the Bloodsuckers. General Sanders wants to nuke the Bloodsuckers. Jeff and Julie are just trying to live their lives and survive, but Jeff also really likes Julie. And as much as Jeff is the main character, Julie pretty much solves every problem that comes up.
She does.
Way better than anybody else does.
She does.
As Jim had said, things don't go the way they planned. The military decides they're going to drop a nuke. They miss. They end up destroying a Methodist camp like 60 miles away.
That's right.
And the Bloodsuckers are still alive, and they form their own town where the mist landed.
Right. So I got most of that right. The only thing, I thought the researchers were trying to stop it. You're right. That makes more sense. They're trying to study it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The one scientist said she had a 2-year study proposal, and the general was very upset about that. He's like, 2 years? We got to kill these guys now.
That's right. I remember now. See, that's why you're here. So I don't misinform everybody about the movie. Nice job. Okay. So that was the summary challenge. Now on to points of interest, clarification one might need to enhance their viewing experience of this film. You call it a film. That might be a stretch. Movie?
I don't know. Film makes it sound a bit too fancy.
It does, yeah. So what do you have here?
As we had discussed, this movie was made in 1984. And just as a warning for our listeners, there is language and commentary that was maybe acceptable in 1984, but is definitely not acceptable now. So if that kind of thing bothers you, I would give this movie a miss just on that basis.
Yep.
Outside of that, it's important that you go in knowing this is not a good movie.
Yes.
I think even the people that made it had to know this was not a good movie.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that they filmed this and said, my God, we got an Oscar right here. Like, there's just no way. Many of the sets. Okay. Like, for instance, there is a part of the movie where Jeff and Julie are just walking through the countryside, but there's this randomly debris.
Yes.
Just placed there. And it seems pretty obvious that they wanted the debris to be there, but I don't know why. Or like, there's a gas station that is clearly an abandoned building, and they just set up a couple of tables and a shelf and put stuff on it and said, yeah, gas station. Yeah,
that's right.
So you're not dealing with a Avatar budget here.
No, not anywhere close. You want to know going in that this is not a great movie. The budget's pretty low. Some other things I had, I guess, walking into it, and maybe you, I know you're a big zombie movie fan. Are they vampires or are they zombies? Because for me, a vampire, they would be actively going around sucking each other's blood or feeding off the living. That does not happen here. They seem way more like zombies. So the Bloodsucker name's a little confusing to me.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, let me think about this, because if you've ever seen Return of the Living Dead, which was a 1985 movie, those were definitely zombies that were only out to eat your brains, but they were also able to have complete conversations. So in this one, if you get hit with the space mist, you turn into a bloodsucker. If a bloodsucker attacks and kills you, you just die. You don't come back as a bloodsucker yourself. So I guess it's kind of a hybrid, because if they were zombies and they bit you, you would then become one of them.
Yeah.
If you're a bloodsucker and they bite you, you just die. So that more goes the vampire route. If they suck you dry, you're just dead.
Yeah.
But again, they're still their own people, but they seem like once they've been infected with a space mist, they now share like this higher intelligence. Because some of the things that they were saying to the people before they attacked them sort of led you to believe that they were more intelligent.
And happier.
Yeah, but they never really go down the road to explain all of that. And you'll find throughout this entire movie, there's a lot of ideas, but not a lot of follow through.
Yeah. Okay, so that's one thing going in. So if you're expecting a vampire movie, not quite that. Expecting a zombie movie, not quite that. So we're kind of down the middle.
Yes.
The other thing I had for points of clarification, I think anybody who's watching this really needs to consider how do they refer to their uncle.
the most oddly put way of describing relations ever.
Yeah. So in the movie, instead of saying his uncle, he says my dad's brother, right?
Right.
And that's kind of, there's a whole conversation where they kind of refer to family members, but only via the relation.
And yeah, it'd be like if you were married and you're talking about your father-in-law's daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
what? Yeah. Not your wife. No. Like it goes on for a solid 5 minutes of really weird dialogue.
It does. So when entering this movie, just be prepared that you're going to have to really pay attention to figure out who they're talking about.
And there's a lot of songs that were made specifically for this movie.
Oh, yeah?
So every song where there are lyrics was made for this movie.
Really?
Like they're singing about things that are happening in the movie.
Oh, I missed that.
And it's not – none of these songs or anything, I think – like if you go to Spotify, I highly doubt you're going to find these songs from this movie. Okay. But if you listen to the lyrics, it's all about – the movie.
Wow. So it could be like a musical.
Easily. Oh, and I'll tell you, I would go see this in a musical.
I would as well. All right. So the last thing I just was throwing out for potentially for debate, can space zombies set up a legitimate town? That would be another clarification kind of thing. But you're trying to say that they've actually, I guess I missed the collective intelligence thing because I was thinking, well, zombies probably can't set up a town. But if they have a shared intelligence, like you're saying, well, then that obviously makes sense.
Well, and it's funny. We'll get into the nerd challenge later, but it's funny that you say that.
Okay. All right. So on to positives and strengths of the show. So what did you like about this movie?
If you enjoy bad movies, this is a good bad movie. But, you know, we watched Terminus and our main criticism was it didn't really have a coherent plot.
Yeah.
They just threw like all these apocalypse 80 ideas against the wall and there was your movie.
Yes.
This is not a good movie, but it has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
It's true.
many things are not satisfying, but you get there.
Right.
And so for being a bad movie, this was kind of right up my alley. It's exactly what I expected it to be.
Yeah.
It was stupid. It was weird. It was funny, whatever it wasn't supposed to be. Like, it's a good bad movie.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's a good bad movie. Some of my highlights or strengths of the show, I love that the researchers are part of something called Research City.
And all of their lab coats have Research City embroidered on the back.
I know.
So it's official.
I think you said that you thought they looked hand stitched. Like,
yeah, like it honestly looked like they got someone's grandma to be like, "Can you just put Research City on the back of all these coats?" And she did,
which is amazing.
With love.
That's clearly somebody's family member pitching in, which is great.
It's awesome. Exactly.
Yeah. I love Julie's character because she rolls with like everybody. She's like the dude in this. Like if the dude was from the Big Lebowski was like in a zombie crisis.
Well, and what's funny about it, and we had discussed this before, she meets Jeff because he is beating the crap out of his own broken down car on the side of the road. She pulls over seeing him smashing all of his own windows. And she's like, "Need a ride?" And I'm thinking, who would pick this dude up? And so as soon as she picks him up, she's like, "Well, I got some nitrous if you want to hop it." And so Jeff does that. And then they go back to Jeff's apartment And all of a sudden, they're in a relationship, and she's fine with that. Yeah. And then they find these bloodsuckers, and she's fine with that. And yeah. Like, you cannot phase this woman. She is the perfect woman. I like, who would not want a Julie in their life?
I know. She just handled everything, like, so calmly, rolled with everything, and ends up yes. being, like, more or less, well, the only thing I didn't like at the end is, like, she's pretty much, like, Jeff's just sort of an aside, like, she's clearly the hero and the brains of the outfit. And, like, you know, she's got this nitrous tank that ends up saving them. But then she, like, gives him credit. Oh, that,
Jeff,
that
you made, did it. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Like, Julie, no. Yeah. This like, is all you,
you. You should dump Jeff. You don't need Jeff. No. You're going just fine by yourself.
Yeah. If she can survive Jeff and this bloodsucker apocalypse, she's she's golden. Other strengths. I really liked the monologue from the janitor.
He was weird.
Yeah. Weird. He has some, just goes off on some diatribe about weirdos and stuff. It's very funny. Yeah.
He uses the word weird about 50 times in 1 minute. Yeah. And he seems to know that there's crazy things happening, but he's like, but I got work to do. So he just stays.
Yep.
I gotta sweep this floor. It's like, what?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. The other thing is, this is kind of car nerdy, but they trade a Camaro for a Chevette at some point. Like, they went to go get gas for their Camaro and then end up in the Chevette, and I
they steal a Chevette.
It's a like, funny trade.
Yeah, maybe you should stay on foot.
Yeah. All right. So, as far as weaknesses and drawbacks, what did you not like about this movie?
I would say take everything that we said for positives and strengths, and if that's not your thing, it is a weakness.
Yeah.
You know, bad dialogue, bad costumes, iffy plot. If all these things sound like a terrible time to you, then you're going to hate this. You're going to hate this movie.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. If you don't like bad movies, then this is certainly not going to be up your alley. Cause at one point, isn't one of the special effects just clearly a dummy being like a mannequin being thrown on a
yes. Well, and like there are fight scenes where the punches and kicks clearly don't connect.
Yeah.
Like by a mile.
We're talking like Karen Allen, Kung Fu, and Terminus, but lots more of it.
Yes. And so if that stuff makes you laugh and you think it's like campy and funny, then this is great. And if you think, my God, this is the worst thing ever, don't watch this movie.
Don't watch it. So you did say there's a beginning, a middle, and end, and I totally agree. But I was really disappointed that, because usually the protagonist like somehow ends up defeating the zombies at the end. And really, Jeff and Julie just sort of kind of meander in and out of the...
They just don't. They just kind of don't.
Yeah.
Like the whole, I think, last 30 seconds is just them kind of kissing, right?
Yeah, that's right. After...
Like, yay?
After they...
It's like, so we lost our town. I lost my car. Everyone we know is dead. But we're cool because we have laughing gas or nitrous?
Yeah. It was bizarre. That was a little bit of a disappointment for me. We normally would say, you know, would we watch the whole season of a show or not? So I guess this turns into, would this be a movie that we would recommend somebody watch or not? So this would just be kind of a yes or no kind of thing.
And I think it's just like what we've been talking about. If you like bad movies, absolutely watch this. If they drive you nuts, stay away.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
It's 80 minutes. I mean, you're not even losing an hour and a half of your life, but it could be torture for you if you don't like bad movies.
Really curious about this soundtrack now, though.
Oh,
I've got to look this up.
I almost feel like Jeff was singing. It has to be somebody that was actually in the movie that was singing these songs.
Yeah. No, I mean, that would make sense. Somebody in the production, right? Oh, yep. We got to dig into this. All right.
Yes.
Okay. So we do have a nerd challenge for this episode, and you came up with it. So it's my turn to answer, right?
That's right. And so. Okay. In this movie, the Bloodsuckers take over the town. At the end of the movie, General Sanders tries to nuke them. He misses by 60 miles and ends up killing a Methodist camp.
Yes.
If you were in charge, how would you have dealt with the Bloodsuckers?
Okay. So I'm the military guy.
Yeah, you have carte blanche to deal with this however you think you should.
Jeez. Okay. You know what's funny? Usually in these kind of post-apocalyptic movies, the military just sort of comes in at the end, but they never really quite explain what the strategy was for them to get from point A to point B.
We got the guns.
Yeah. And you're always like, oh, thank goodness. Like, have you seen The Mist?
Yes.
Yeah. That's kind of one where it's like chaos, chaos, chaos. And then they're like, oh, thank goodness the military's here. And they just sort of kind of swoop in. So now you're putting me on the spot.
Oh, we're doing a shooting everything.
I got to figure out from point A to point B. All right. So let's see. So this is a mist, right?
Yes.
So how do you battle a mist?
It's tricky.
It is. I immediately thought, well, maybe bring in fans. Well, that's just going to spread it around. That's no good. So I'd almost have to go, and this is a very classic science fiction trope. I go with plastic dome.
Sure.
Right? So
just drop it in there like the Simpsons movie.
Yeah, exactly. So I figure military's got to have access to something like that. I'm sure there's like a dome just like ready to go, right? That's been in research and development. So I would have this thing helicoptered in and hoping that the mist hasn't spread far enough outside the city town that if I drop this dome over top of it, that it's going to contain the space mist. And then that sets us up for a nice little sequel movie inside.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
They'll get out through the solar system.
Yeah. And I haven't inadvertently nuked innocent bystanders.
Right.
If I send troops in, well, they're just going to turn into bloodsuckers because of the...
They did try that, remember.
Because of the mist, right? So... my first thing was like fans or filter. Like you put in like a big air purifier.
Right.
Could do that. So it's air purifier, fans, or dome.
That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
So I know that you probably have a much better answer than I do for this. So what do you think you would do?
I guess I was thinking of a different route.
Okay.
Because you can have conversations with these bloodsuckers.
Oh.
Yeah. Why not negotiate with them?
Yeah.
And you're like, look, you want blood. We got cattle and pigs and, you know, we'll give you all the blood in the world.
Yeah.
You just leave us alone. And then whenever we need you to do something, we drop you in.
Oh.
And use them as a weapon.
Yeah.
Like but then, I mean, and I was also kind of thinking crappy sequel also, because like, say you're fighting some third world country and you drop all these bloodsuckers in. Well, now they have bloodsuckers. And and so now you're like escalating things.
Bloodsucker arms race.
That's right. And so I thought it would be interesting to try to negotiate with them because they seem to want to turn everybody because once you turn, they're like, everything's great.
Well, they seem nice enough. You pull away at the end shot and they're like playing soccer, like
football,
kickball.
And yeah,
football.
They're just like the going shopping. They're pushing a baby stroller. Like they're just people. But different.
Okay, so I totally respect that plan. But that implies, do they have control over the mist? Or is the mist... So that was a part, like, I was a little fuzzy on. Is the mist just sort of, like, floating around down there? Or do they actually have control over the mist? So if you did negotiate with them, you know, it just wouldn't go around infecting other people.
In my head, I was almost picturing it like Maximum Overdrive. Mm-hmm. Where the Earth was in the tail of that comet for like a week.
Yeah.
And I was thinking maybe the mist just kind of blew through.
Oh.
And it'll just keep going. They don't ever explain that. So that's a good point. Like it could be slowly expanding or it could have dissipated or who knows what.
Yeah. So your plan would work really well if it's just like you said.
If it just blew through.
One time through.
But you're smart in if it didn't and they somehow control it, you're capping that.
or if they somehow see what if once they're infected, they expel.
Like they're making the mist.
Yeah, they expel it.
That's a good point. I guess wear a gas mask before you talk to them.
You know who needs to be involved with this? Research City.
If they would have granted that 2-year study, we would know.
We would know.
It had been completed in 1986.
Yeah. Awesome nerd challenge. That was great. And that we can throw that on the viewers too. Watch.
Watch this and tell us what you would do.
What you would do.
It doesn't affect animals, by the way, because there were a lot of animals in this movie.
Oh, yeah. And none of them seem to turn.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Huh. Yeah. Research. They need a grant. It sounds like they could write a pretty nice.
I need that lab coat.
All right. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed our review of Bloodsuckers from Outer Space. Well, as always, I'm Jim.
I am Steve. And good luck.
Jim and Steve, they watch a show
movie.
They watch a show
movie
you've never seen.